You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Doesn't that just make you want to throw a banana peel at somebody or something? Remember, kids, Super Mario Kart is from the pre-blue shell days. The red shell was the dominant item, you guys. Or maybe the lightning bolt was probably. Anyway, you guys, welcome back to Remember the Game, episode 6. This week, my buddy Dave Ray and I are chatting Super Mario Kart, the originator of the Mario Kart series from the Super Nintendo. Anyone that grew up in this time and played this game remembers playing this with their friends or maybe their big brother, little brother, sisters, whatever. Unplugging the second controller to cheat. Battle mode. I won't waste a lot of time. Dave and I rehash all these memories in the podcast this week. So you guys, as always, thank you for listening. Listens are still doing really well. Downloads are still going well. If you like it, please tell a friend. Tell somebody about it. Let's spread the word of Remember the Game. And if you're interested in coming on, shoot me a message. Talk about a game you like, and I'll happily talk about a game with you guys. That's it. I'm not going to waste any time. I love this game too much. We're going to get right to it. Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Let's go. Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. That is the first Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
Probably looking back, it's not the best one. It's not the best of them. It's the most nostalgic, no. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the first time. It's like one of those first 3D-esque games.
Dude, yeah. At the time, the graphics were mind-boggling.
Oh,
like, when
yeah.
When you started playing it, it was like, wow.
Well, yeah, when I went to the Wolco, which would later be Walmart, I remember going to the Wolco and just seeing the Super Mario Kart and just being like, this is crazy. Yeah, it's like I'm really there.
Yeah, you know? I vividly remember Mario Kart being the first time that I was like, I can't imagine graphics being better than that. Being like, dude, like that looks so real.
Yeah.
And it's like, I played that again. It was one of the first games I played when I got my SNES Classic. And it's like, it doesn't look that good. Like, it's good, but it's not that good.
Yeah. You know? Like, you see the pixelation.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Especially on the map on the bottom. Oh, and it's just like, oh, those little sprites look like garbage.
Dude, they look awful. And the look, and I still love this to this day, like the look on some of their faces on the little card at the bottom, that map when they're driving around, like Donkey Kong is always like yelling and fucking Yoshi's always got his tongue out of his mouth.
Yeah, if he's sideways, Yoshi's tongue's out.
Yeah. It's the first great multiplayer game I remember from my childhood.
Yeah, that would be pretty, well, I don't know. Ninja Turtles too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, but the
arcade game.
Now, for the record, I never owned Ninja Turtle. Like Super. Okay, you're right. You're right. Because to play that two player is like the only way to play those games.
Yeah, the beat 'em up like Double Dragon, all those like side scrolling.
Yeah. But that said, like Super Mario Kart was like it was. I don't know if there's a game I remember having more, dude.
Yeah.
When you'd like have a sleepover.
Yeah.
And you'd play like, did you get like battle mode?
The battle mode with the balloons and everything. Like,
you'd play battle mode, and like we always played like King. Like as long as you win, you stay on.
Yeah.
And
then there would be
that
one guy who like perfected the hop over the like.
Yeah,
The shell and it's god.
No, because that was like I mean, it took a long time for them to really compete with, like, to, because, like, to me, that, like, for some people may think that feather is useless in Super Mario Kart. I'm like, dude, as OP of any item, like, till
if
the blue
know,
shell.
Yeah.
Like, it's, if you know what you're doing with that thing, you're invincible.
Like that ghost, the ghost house level.
Yeah.
Where, I think it's the very first track or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's, like, you can cut out, like, a fourth of the track.
Yeah.
By just going towards that one edge where it's like, that's a dumb thing because you're going to fall off. But if you hit the feather and like line it up just right,
yeah,
you're now ahead by a long shot.
And that was the thing about the feather in those tracks, dude, was like, there were some wicked shortcuts,
yes.
But you had to stick those fucking landings. Like you needed to have some skills because otherwise you'd like, you'd stick it, then you'd just go over the edge on the other side. And then you'd end up losing time by the time fucking Lakitu got you back on the track.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I love that feather, man. Yeah. I'm like, give me the feather every time. Give me the feather every time. Let's fucking go.
One of my favorite things to do is to, like, it's that one, it's the second Mario track where it's like you hit a special jump and you jump over the track.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a big figure eight, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if you can put a turtle shell down, because this is the thing about Mario Kart is everybody went on a line. Like they were like all the computers
stayed in the middle of the screen. Yeah, like the middle
and
of the track.
And they followed the exact same path.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you know where to go, you can like lay down the banana peel exactly on the jump. And the person who's been like, you know, because they always like, if Toad is always first of the computer players, he's always first for the rest of it.
Yeah,
for the rest of the thing. But if you can do it and like Toad hits that thing, he spins out and he falls in the middle and then suddenly he's in behind and he's fucked. And suddenly like you mess with the whole standings because the computer couldn't.
You're right. And like, dude, it hit a point where like, I remember when I was a kid because I was so obsessed with getting all the golds.
Yeah.
And you knew how much, like you could do the math. It wasn't hard to do the math. You knew if there was a tie, it would go to you. So you're like, I just have to like, so like usually by like, because I think it was five courses on a cup. And by the fifth course, I would know like, okay, I got a first place locks this up.
Yeah.
First or a second locks this up.
Yeah.
I can finish second or I need to knock Toad down one spot. And then that's it. You wait till the last lap, you know where to drop an item, and then you put it in just the right spot and fuck him over. Like you had to do that. Like it was because the computer in that game in 50 cc they were easy.
Yeah.
Once you got into the higher difficulties, like the computer was fucking vicious.
Well, they had that games. I forget what there's a term that they used for it, but basically that there's that thing of the computer's always keeping pace with you. Kind of a thing, like it
like a variable difficulty type thing.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. Like it's playing. So if you're way off ahead, or maybe they incorporate that in future ones, but like so that they're always essentially right behind you, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and like I mean, because in 50, you can like I remember playing some of the 50 cc ones and lapping everybody by the time it was over. But dude, especially once you get up to like 150, like you unlock the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah, 150 was in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you got all the other ones. It's fucking hard, dude.
Yeah.
And Rainbow Road in that one, like, I mean, Rainbow Road's a staple of Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But the Super Nintendo Rainbow Road
was brutal in particular.
Oh, God, dude.
Because I don't know, because I played, I don't recall the other ones as much. I never played the Wii ones and the 64 ones as much.
Right.
And I remember whenever we play Rainbow Road on those ones, it's like, oh, this is trippy, I guess, but it's not.
None of them were the challenge.
It doesn't have that weird hairpin turn where there's, if you go off, like there's nothing to bounce you.
The
it's
entire
just
course.
Pure.
The entire course, there's no walls.
No walls.
So, like, the worst thing that can happen to you sometimes in that thing is, like, you get a box and you'd be like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then it'll give you a fucking mushroom. And you're like,
I guess I can never use an item again.
There's like one stretch where you're like, okay, I can get away with this right now. Fucking get it out of the way. And then half the time you'd use it and then you'd run over a banana that you couldn't see because of the fucking floor.
The yellow floor hit the banana.
Hit items or fucking those thwomps were invincible there.
Yeah.
So you'd hit them. And if you hit them, they would spin you out. And then while you were spinning out, they'd crush you.
Yeah.
And you'd lose like a minute. Oh, God. That might be the first game I remember like raging was Super Mario Kart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to get all the golds in that fucking game. Who was your go-to racer?
I think Yoshi.
Me too.
Yeah, the acceleration is a big key.
Yeah, Yoshi. Yeah, because like I remember reading that. I read that instruction book like a billion times.
Yeah, of course. Donkey Kong and Bowser were the slow, but a slow acceleration, but high top speed.
They moved too, man.
If you could master those guys, they were probably ultimately the best.
I would guess so, but I don't know how anyone could do that.
Yeah, because like, as soon as you like bump into something, you like lose all that acceleration. So. Yeah.
And then Yoshi and Princess had the acceleration. That's what made them so valuable.
Toad and Koopa were like the handling guys.
Yeah, and they didn't slow down as much when they were off the road because they were so light.
Yeah,
and they handled nice. And Mario and Luigi were boring. They were just balanced.
They were the balanced ones.
Like so those. Yeah, it was always Yoshi, dude. Good call. And then Koopa.
Although if somebody took Yoshi, then it'd be Luigi.
Oh, it was Luigi.
Yeah, I was a Luigi guy all the way through.
I was Toad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something I don't know why it's the same thing.
I like Koopa.
I like Koopa too, but there's something about the problem, and I may be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure the problem with playing as Koopa was that you always had Mario and Luigi as like your big comp, like because like I think each character had someone that would always be that first place person that was on your ass,
right?
And when it was Mario and Luigi, because in that game they didn't get items like they do in all the other ones, they each had an item and that was their only weapon.
Yeah,
and Mario and Luigi had fucking stars.
Yeah,
so like if you tried to like play those faster races, especially on like Rainbow Road, and you get stuck up against Mario and Luigi and they're both just starring all the fucking time, I couldn't beat them.
I never paid attention to who it was, but I know what you're saying. Like, yeah, you'd have different,
they were pair-ups. So hard to beat, like because that like because all the other guys, like I mean like Donkey Kong had his banana peel and Yoshi had eggs and Bowser threw fireballs.
Ooh, that would kind of like go back and forth.
Yeah, they would spin a little. Koopa Troopa just threw shells. And then Princess and Toad threw those poison mushrooms.
That just, made you shrunk.
Which sometimes you would hit, like, I would hit them on purpose sometimes if I had a lead, because I was like, oh, now I'm little, this is so cool. But, but like, for the most part, yeah, like, you'd try to avoid them. But for Mario and Luigi, you'd have those fucking stars all the time, so you couldn't touch them. That made it so much harder. Like, so, I fucking hated those two so much. So much. Luigi, hey, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just enjoy Luigi because it'd be like one of those things where you go over to a friend's place and like I'm the second player.
I guess
I am the underdog. That's fine. I like this guy.
All right, because like when my bro and I would play, like I was always Mario. When we'd play like Mario Brothers or anything, he's always second because I'm the older brother.
Yeah.
So he had to be a little brother. He was Luigi.
Yeah.
So like back in those days, I was like, I'm not fucking Luigi. Like I'm the older brother. I'm not fucking gonna be. Nowadays, like Luigi's become kind of like. I mean, after the Mario Party,
they also have like personalities now.
They do, yeah. Back then, it was just he was just the sidekick, basically. Yeah. But like now that the Luigi Green Death Mario. Stare has come out, like you see the Luigi Death Stare, right, from Mario Kart.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, Luigi's become like a Mario Kart icon because he gives people the stink eye all the time now.
Yeah.
Mario Kart was, I was like the amount of memories I mean, who didn't play that game like at sleepovers and stuff like that, or like unplug the second controller.
Yeah,
to fuck over your friend and shit like that all the time. Like, battle mode was just... It's funny because they've made so many... Like, I mean, you could argue Mario Kart 64's battle mode was better.
Yeah.
You could argue that. I don't know if I'd believe it, but you could argue that.
Sure.
But the Super Mario Kart... Like, even once those races are done... Because the races get old after a while. You finished them all. That battle mode, dude, like...
Yeah.
That never got old.
You can keep... Like, yeah, because it was a different kind of a game.
It was a whole different game.
It was... Well, at that time, the closest thing you had to a shooter.
Yeah,
probably was. Like, you wouldn't probably have a party game like that. Yeah, it was like a party game. It was not like a adventure game where it's kind of like the focus is not competing with the other person or whatever.
And it's funny because like to play that now, because like I didn't play battle mode at all.
Yeah.
When I fired it up in my SNES Classic, I just played the races. That was it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that to play it now, it wouldn't seem nearly as... Like, dynamic. Oh my God, as it was as a kid. But dude, as a kid, When that, like, when the, like, when you'd fucking get dropped and you're staring at each other across the, like, arena.
Yeah.
Those courses. And, like, the, like, he'd be like 3, 2, 1 or whatever. And he was just like, oh, fuck, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, and you knew where every box was. You knew every shortcut, every hiding place. Like, I used, there was so much fun. That mode was so much fun. Like, and there was, it wasn't nerfed like I feel like they are now, where there's, like, I don't know if you, like, I loved Mario Kart 8 when it came out. Yeah. The battle mode sucked at first. They kind of tweaked it. Mm-hmm. But like when someone died, then they would come back as a bomb and they could drive around and like blow up somebody and take one of their balloons and stuff like that. Right. But back then it was like, you each have 3 balloons. There's no way to get your balloons back. It's like you play for keeps. You know what I mean? Like it felt so intense. Like to, when you got down to that last balloon, there was no fucking around. Like you were paranoid of every shell of every, cause your own shells could hurt you.
If you're just like sending like a wild amount of green shells.
So it was like, ugh.
They would keep going. That's true.
Yeah, those stupid shells would, like, the red shell was, I mean, the red shell in the original Mario Kart was like as good as gold.
Yeah.
Once you learned that you just had to be close enough, like, cause it would go right at the guy. So if he was behind a wall, it would hit the wall and fucking die.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go around walls or anything. But like, yeah, there was nothing better as a kid than like, when the other guy only had one balloon left and then you picked up a red shell.
It's like, yeah, it's game over.
It's like you have a gun to his head and you're just waiting to pull the trigger. That's what it was. You're just driving around.
And if you're the other guy, you're just desperately trying to find like a feather or something.
Yeah. Because that was the other thing, right? Was like you couldn't, in most of the other Mario games, you can drag an item behind you and use it as like a shield.
Yeah.
And that one, like you could drop a shell right behind you, but you couldn't carry it.
Yeah.
So if you were going to block something with a shell or a banana, like you had to be fucking good.
Yeah. You had to like drop it in time.
Yeah. Because the other guy would shoot. You'd hear that like that pew of him like shooting the shell. And then you'd have to be like, hey, how fucking close? How close? How close? And then be like, now, like at the last second, because otherwise you would miss it and it would hit you. Oh, fuck.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Well, that's why it was. I remember when the Super Nintendo came out, and we were kind of touched by a bit on this, like when we were talking about the NES game last time. Where the Super Nintendo just like, I could not believe it. Like, it changed the game. Whereas, like, it was such a step up with that 3D, that pseudo 3D thing, especially that they pulled off in Mario Kart. And that lit up my brain. And I never bought a Super Nintendo. I got one like a little later on, sort of, and all that kind of thing. But I remember being at home wanting to play Mario Kart so bad. And I actually made my own Super Mario Kart board game just myself. And I memorized all the sprites. And so I would do the thing of like, you would go around the map with the little characters and like, oh, you turn the corner, oh, you gotta get the side sprite for this guide. And
I made a Mario Kart board game too. That's incredible. I was like waiting to bring that up. I was like, I did too. And we played it.
That's why I put this on my list.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. So I made a whole little thing, and like you would, I didn't have a dice or anything like that either. So I'd like make, you just kind of draw a number from a hat. And like, that's how many guys, that's how many spaces you moved. And like, and I, whenever I'd make these like dumb little board games, and with multiple players, like I didn't have anybody to play with. So I would just be this neutral entity. I'm like, I'm just going to see who wins.
Right.
And
yeah,
like keep stats of like Luigi won this one or whatever the thing was.
It was the perfect game for that though.
Yeah.
Like I can't believe they haven't made like a really good, like I know there's like a Mario Kart Monopoly now or something.
Yeah.
But I can't believe they never made like a really good Mario Kart board game because it totally worked.
Yeah.
You race around the track. There was a way to use items. Yeah. It was like, dude, that's so insane. Cause yeah, I like, I had this, I remember my mom, like I got this huge sheet of Bristol board and do this huge track that like in theory would probably take you like an hour to fucking get around. Like I don't know if we ever finished a game of it, but I thought it was so cool. And it was
just,
it was
a concept. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, and I really think a lot of it was, I mean, for my, I mean, cause you didn't own it. So you were just trying to fill the void.
Yeah.
I played the fuck out of that game, but like there was something about those graphics, which I know now aren't that great, like we said.
Yeah.
But there was something so cool about seeing, like, Bowser is my favorite Mario character.
Sure.
Because I think he looks so cool.
Yeah.
And to see Bowser in 3D with like these spiky shells and stuff, the spiky shell, and like, and to see Yoshi like full, like standing up and like, I think that's why I like Toad, because I just loved his big head.
Yeah.
And it like, it seemed so big. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those graphics at that time, at least. You're right, the map itself looked like shit, but the 8 characters look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like they did a good job, you know?
Yeah.
I found it weird that they put Donkey Kong Jr. in it. Yeah. Although I guess now looking back, like who would you have, because I mean they replaced him with Wario.
Okay, yeah.
Like Wario became that guy, but like at that point Wario didn't really exist.
No,
or at least he wasn't in the Super Nintendo anyway.
Yeah, I feel Wario came out around that time on the Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah, like, he did. That was his debut, was on the Game Boy,
yeah.
And it's funny, because I remember when he first came out, I was like, what a stupid character. I was like, he's just a fat ripoff of Mario.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a while, like, Wario's become one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then Waluigi came out, and I was like, okay, that's dumb. And now I'm like, actually, Waluigi's pretty dope. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's such a weird twist, because, like, you know, like Luigi's just a reflection of Mario, and then Wario's like a mirror, or like kind of like a contrast to Mario. Mm-hmm. And then like Waluigi is the contrast to the mirror. It's this weird realm of it.
When I first saw Waluigi, I was like, this is dumb. I was like Wario I can even live with, because you just changed Mar into War.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's a bad guy. And it's Wario. I was like, he's like the evil Mario, right?
Yeah.
But then Waluigi, I was like, it doesn't even sound like anything. Yeah. But now it's like, I'm sorry, not to get all out of tirade, because we'll go back to Mario Kart. But like, I remember the first time I really started to like Waluigi, it was Mario Tennis for the GameCube, I think.
Yeah, that would seem about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the initial, they had like the little cartoon like to start the video,
yeah,
or to start the game. And like Wario and Waluigi were like in the tournament as doubles, and they kept losing, and they were like getting madder, and like they kept blowing each other up.
Right.
And I was just like, that was the point where he like won me over. And I was like, oh, they're just like,
they're a
pair of bumbling like idiots. You know what I mean?
It's your Bebop and Rocksteady. Yeah.
That's exactly what they are. They're Nintendo's Bebop and Rocksteady. but at the time, I do remember just being like, this is, I was like, Mario, Luigi, Princess, Yoshi, Toad, Koopa Troopa, Bowser all make complete sense. I don't know if I've ever played as Donkey Kong, because when I did pick a heavyweight, it'd be Bowser.
Yeah.
I was like, why the fuck is Donkey Kong? And why is he wearing a t-shirt or like a white beater? I was like,
I guess the connection is because he was in the first Mario game.
I guess so. And they wanted someone big and heavy. Yeah. You know, they needed another heavyweight.
They needed that feel. Yeah. Yeah.
But like,
and there was nobody really like that.
No, I mean, like, it would have had to have been, like, a bad guy, like a Thwomp or something.
Yeah.
Which would have been stupid. Like, no one would have played as a Thwomp.
Possibly a guy from Mario 3, you know, like that castle boss.
Oh, Boom Boom. Yeah. But even, like, it's funny, because, like, I loved Bowser. But even as a kid, I remember seeing many times I remember talking about it with my brother and my friends, and I was like, why are Bowser and Koopa Troopa there? I was like, they're like a bunch of friends that went go-karting for the day. And I was like, those guys are like the bad guys. I was like, why'd they invite them?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was really obsessed with that. I was like, why are the two bad guys there? Like, what's the point of that? Like, now I'm like, maybe they're all friends when they're not fighting. I don't know. Or like,
This actually reminded me of another story that like had Mario Kart in it. This is so what I would sometimes do for people is I'd put together like a special like all day game that would be a running around the city kind of a thing.
Okay.
And I would normally format it after the TV show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland and all this kind of stuff, running around like stopping a terrorist attack or whatever.
Right,
it is.
Right.
But one time somebody commissioned me as like, my brother really loves Nintendo. Could you put together like a Nintendo version of your like special day running around the city? I'm like, yeah, I think I could. So I made this whole day where he woke up to like the Zelda music that's like plays as you wake up,
right?
And like gave him like a Mario costume, and he had to like go meet the princess at this park. And it turns out when he gets there that she's been kidnapped,
of course.
And so it turned into the story of like, oh, the world of Nintendo is crashing into our world, and to pull them apart, you have to complete the quest. And so he did this like combination Zelda Mario quest of like, I took my church and turned the sanctuary, like blocked out all the windows and made a dungeon in there. And like, he had to only go in there with just a candle in this pitch black room to find all the rupees. And at one point, like Hammer Brothers attacked him, down in like, in Winnipeg. The Forks is kind of like this tourist.
Yeah. Where the water.
Where the two rivers meet.
Yeah.
And so like, Hammer Brothers like showed up and like scared him off, and he had to go we don't have enough items, we need to get a fire flower and this. And then at one point to get one of the items, he had to go do a Mario Kart thing, and so we were there at this go-karting place all dressed up as the different characters.
Sick.
And we like, we addressed the fact of like, you attacked us like an hour ago, and, you know, well, we're, it's fine now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it wasn't just me. Other people have thought that as well. They're like, "Why the fuck are the bad guys there? They shouldn't be there."
Why is this going on? Yeah,
that really bothered me.
Yeah,
one of my buddies pointed out that like as you played Mario 3.
Yes, of course.
At the intro to Mario 3, it's like they're on in like a play.
Yeah,
like the stage curtain comes up and they're on the stage. So then one of my buddies, this was like a long time ago when I was a kid. One of my buddies was like, "Well, he's like, they just do that for the games, like when they fight." Yeah. Like Mario 3, it's like a state. He's like, that's so it's cool. Like when Super Mario World wraps up for the day, they're like, we have the weekend off. What do you guys want to do? And they're all friends. He's like, they got to go go-karting.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe that makes sense. They're all, that's why they play tennis together now. And like, all these things.
Three established it as this idea that they're like, they are just actors.
Yeah. Like, that's what it seemed like. Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe that explains it. Because that really, I remember that just like chapping my ass. As a-
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Kid.
Yeah.
And I liked Bowser. I thought he was cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, you shouldn't be allowed to play as him. He should be the bad guy. Like he should be the one you have to beat to win the race. Like and that was one of the things I liked about that game too, is like looking back on it, is I love all the courses.
Yeah.
Like I love that they take you to the ghost house and they take you to like the donut plains and Bowser's castle and like
stuff where like for racing games, I'm trying to think of like on the NES. Like I don't think there's any like wild race games, like it was all like general tracks, and like there'd be stuff on it, but Nothing like, oh, this wildly magical place that you can go to.
It was cool that, like, and I never even thought about it much as a kid, but, like, now looking back on it, it's cool that even then Nintendo recognized, like, we're building this world that, like, people love. Like, people love the world of Mario and the world of Nintendo. And so they're like, let's take those environments and make them race through it. Like, I want to know where they, because it's the first big kart racer, right? Like, I know now they've done, like, Diddy Kong. Sure. Crash had one. Sonic's had them.
Yeah.
But I think Mario Kart was, like, they established, like, the kart racing genre.
Yeah, because everything before then was either a race simulator, which I wasn't very much, or, like...
Like, there was, like, Micro Machines.
Yeah, like, and there would be, like, top-down stuff. There would be, like, the arcade ones where it's, like, you're in a Ferrari or whatever, racing. But they're all very... Like, it was based on normal racing.
Yeah, yeah, like, they were, like, real life, kind of. Whereas Mario Kart... I just, like...
Introduced the weapons thing, I think.
Yeah, and, like...
Or, not introduced, but used it differently, I
should
say.
Like, yeah, they took their power-ups and their environments and their characters. And, like, looking back on it now, like... Because, I mean, I think most people would agree, like, the Mario Kart franchise is I would have to think, is in Mario... Or is in Nintendo's, like, five top franchises. Like, those games sell a fortune. Like, there's the Mario games, there's the Zelda games, there's Pokemon.
There's the Smash... Series.
There's Smash. I know Pokemon's not Nintendo's, but the Nintendo exclude, like, it's Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think a different company came up with them, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I would think Mario Kart is probably there. It's probably, if it's not top five, it's right on the cusp. Like, it's a big franchise. They release one on every system.
Yeah.
And they always sell.
Yeah.
Like, I've played all of them. I love, with the exception of Mario Kart Wii, I didn't really care for. But all the other ones I love. Like, it's
sure.
But to think about it now, I'm like, where the fuck did you guys come up with the idea to be like, let's just take all these characters everyone likes and make them go race go-karts? Like, where the fuck did
that,
they come
up with
that?
Yeah, that was the first one that, like, Mario did something that was not, like, the side-scrolling...
Yeah, they, like, just took him out of his regular games. I mean, he did, like, Dr. Mario and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was the first time they took all those characters and just made them, like, they're having fun. Like, they're just a bunch of regular people, you know what I mean? And it's funny because...
I wonder if they came up with the concept of, like, hey, maybe we should do, like, a racing game.
I wonder.
And then I'm like... I bet that's...
You're probably right. Yeah. They wanted to make a racing game. They had F-Zero. I think F-Zero launched with this SNES.
Yes, that's right.
But then they were like...
It was one of the first ones for sure.
Yeah, which is a good game too.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, they were probably just trying to make a racing game and then were like...
And they saw two design potentials. Because like F-Zero operates very similar to Mario Kart.
It does. Yeah, absolutely it does. It uses that same kind of... I don't remember what the name of the style is called, but that same kind of graphic and everything.
Yeah, the pseudo 3D thing. Yeah.
But then, yeah, I'm sure they looked at it and were like, yo, let's take like these characters everyone loves. Like Mario at that point was like Mario Mania, right? Like you had Mario 3, you had Super Mario World. Like everybody knew Mario.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo was huge in its day.
It was so big. And then let's drop into Mario Kart. One of my other memories of Mario Kart, I fucking hate it. Because you were a Sega kid, right? Like, you had a Sega Genesis?
Well, yeah, and the simple story to that was, like, normally I should have gone with the Super Nintendo because they obviously had way more better games. But I went with a Sega Genesis because I made a decision like I frequently do. I had a crush on a girl who had a Sega Genesis, so I'm like, I'm a Sega Genesis boy.
I got it. That's fair.
I got to buy it. Is a decision that's going to affect my next 5 years of gaming.
It's. I meant to bring this up when we were talking about Mega Man last week, but... just quickly, it's when Nintendo, when the NES came out, that was the one everybody had. Like, I know there was Ataris and ColecoVision and shit, but everyone had an NES.
NES changed, it was, they were able to find the thing to...
Yeah, but, like, the SNES and the Genesis, it was like, dude, like, battle lines were fucking drawn. Like, that shit was... I only had one friend that had a Sega Genesis. I hardly ever touched a Sega as a kid.
Yeah.
Everyone had the Super Nintendo.
Well, and I, like, the Sega Genesis did bite into their market share a little bit, but, like, not, I don't think as big as, like, I feel like it was, like, one Sega Genesis to, like, every four or five Nintendos.
They tried.
Yeah.
Where I remember it is, I remember seeing a commercial, and, I vividly remember this commercial, and it's, like, this old TV, and it has Super Mario Kart running on it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, on a broken down old car, and it's, like, pff, like, pff, and it's, like, crushing, like, slowly, like, putting down the street, and then all of a sudden, it's just, like, and it was a Sega with, like, Sonic and all this shit, and then they were showing, like, slow-ass Mario Kart. And then I remember, like, finally, and they did make it seem so slow. And then I remember playing a Sega, like a Sonic game. game and just being like, I can't, this is too fast. I was like, I don't have time to do anything. I was like, go back to, give me back my slow Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But I get, you know, and that's when they were doing those commercials that was Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Like, I remember they were saying that and going after them. But Nintendo just like, maybe it's part of the reason I'm such a big Nintendo fan now. And I feel like it was the Super Nintendo is what did it. And it was games like Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island. Those games where Nintendo really put their foot down and were like, we're going to make the best video games on the planet. We may not have the best system. We may not have the most powerful console, whatever. Yeah. And they don't. They very rarely, they never do anymore.
Yeah.
They never do. Like the Switch is vastly underpowered, the Xbox and the PS4. But
they
kind
of don't need it.
They don't. And I will argue to the death that Nintendo games made by Nintendo, and this goes as far back as Super Nintendo, maybe even some of the NES ones, but I'll go to Super Nintendo, have a quality and a shine and a little bit of like extra love put into them that very few other games in the business since the Super Nintendo have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like you said,
it's so well thought out.
Super Mario Kart, you could pick it up. I know that the graphics and the controls are a little tight now, but you could still pick that up and be like, this is awesome. Like, this is a great, great game.
There's some great ideas and, some
the,
great planning.
The love they put in those characters, they're so well established. And I think Super Mario Kart did a good job of really establishing that universe. It was more than just platforming and saving the princess from Bowser.
Yeah.
I feel like Mario Kart was the first time they took all those characters and took that world and were like, yo, there's all kinds of shit going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not just, it's not just some lizard kidnapping a girl and you have to go get her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's, to me, like Super Mario Kart spun into like Super Mario RPG, where you got to see something different, which spun into like, I mean, once you got to the Nintendo 64, then you got like tennis and golf and like, then they fucking blew up and went everywhere.
Yeah.
But I really feel like Super Mario, without Super Mario Kart, I mean, obviously we wouldn't have any other Mario Kart games, but I wonder if we would have the Zelda or the tennis games and the golf games and those, because that was the first time they really.
And it worked so well for them too.
It really did. And that was the first time they kind of opened the curtain and were like, there's this whole zany world, like, where they're doing all this shit. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they really leaned into that kid market that did them so well. And I think that's why they stuck with it, even to this day. And and that's really good, because it's kind of like, as much as, you know, you want video games for myself, you know, I want ones that are, like, aimed at me as an older guy. But you still, the fact that Nintendo still focuses, like, no, we're making kids games and like making them really good and
really
sharp
good. Polished, and now they're games that like kids love, but they're also games that, like, I mean, I'm 30, like, how old are you, Dave?
35.
I'm 34, like, we're the same age.
Yeah.
I grew up on Nintendo, and now as an adult I'm like, I gave up my PS4 and my Maddens and my Call of Duties, because I'm like, no, I only have enough to play so much.
Yeah.
And I want to play Mario.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to play Zelda. I want to play the Nintendo games, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, and I never even thought of this till just now, trying to close out this podcast. I really feel like Super Mario Kart was like the first stone in that walkway that we took, for lack of a better analogy. The Mario games were fine before it, but Super Mario Kart was the first time they showed you, like, we have something special in this universe, and we're going to really use it. Like, we're going to do everything with it.
Yeah. To remind you that, like, these are supposed to be, video games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah. And that's really all it was, dude. It, like, I know I know they tried to use it to show off what the Super Nintendo could do for graphics and stuff like that. I'm sure they did. But, like, at the end of the day, it was just a fun game.
Yeah.
Anyone listening to this has had nights where they've been at their friend's house or played with their brother or their sister or whatever, and you played battle mode till 3 a.m. You know what I mean? Like, are you, like, it just, it was so
Whether it's that one or one of the future ones, like it all laid out, like, in that game, like, laid out what would be another great formula.
Absolutely.
For Nintendo.
I also would like to know if anybody else made board games out of that game, because I'm sure other people have.
I was not expecting you to have one.
Yeah. I was so excited to bring it up. And then when you said it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me.
Oh, I made, by the way, I made Smash Brothers before Smash Brothers was a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I took a shoots and ladders thing. So it was like a cube thing. And I made a wrestling game with Mario, Luigi,
that's
all
pretty
the
sick.
Zelda, oh, like all the Nintendo characters, and like make them fight each other and all that kind of stuff.
That's a good idea, man.
Yeah, this, and then like when Smash Brothers came out, I'm like, oh, they made my game finally. Like, 5-10 years later or whatever it was.
Smash. I don't know. I mean, Smash is fine, but Smash is no Mario Kart. Mario Kart's the fuck. I love Mario Kart. David, thanks for coming over and talking video games with me, buddy.
Yeah, no, this was great.
This was awesome. Fun. We'll get you back over. We'll talk some more. And the fact that you love the NES, too.
Yeah.
Like, I know we didn't talk NES this time. We talked Super Nintendo. But the fact that you love the NES, too. I'm like, yeah. We're the same age. We grew up on the NES.
I need some of that slightly older guy.
Yeah, I do.
Older person.
Not enough people are old enough to play the NES like we did.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming over, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of Remember the Game, you guys. I hope you enjoyed that trip down memory lane, nerding out with David and I about Super Mario Kart. I recently replayed it on my SNES Classic, and the controls and everything don't quite hold up like some of the new ones, but for my money, Super Mario Kart, it's the second or third best Mario Kart of all time. Mario Kart 8 is the definitive Mario Kart, and then I would have to go one of Mario Kart 64, Super Mario Kart, or Double Dash. They're all so good. Except Mario Kart Wii kind of sucks. But I love the Mario Kart franchise. That's it, you guys. I'm going to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, if you enjoy the show, tell somebody. I'd really appreciate it. Or leave me a good review. Or do both. If you're really feeling generous, do both of those things. That would be rad. I have some great episodes coming up. A couple of RPG-centric episodes. I hope you guys like RPGs. I love them. So there's going to be a bunch of those with some old friends. And like I said at the beginning of this, if you're interested in coming on, please shoot me a message. Maybe there's a game you like that I like and we could put our heads together and talk about it. Or if you don't like, I have no problem with talking about some crappy games too. That's it. I'm going to go. Thanks for listening, you guys. I'll check in with you again next Wednesday, okay? Enjoy yourselves and go play some Mario Kart. All right. Bye.